Joining us is Dr. Steve Pachinik, former head of psychological operations for the State Department, and, of course, one of the founding members involved in Delta Force, and co-author of many books and films with Tom Clancy, the late great. And he joins us now. His new book is now available at his site, stevepachinik.com. It's nonfiction. Dr. Pachinik, I don't know your take on this fully. I know you've traveled the world. I know you're part Jewish and have a complex view on Israel. We appreciate you joining us with Netanyahu speaking at AIPAC this morning, set to address Congress tomorrow. Is this political theater, or is this a split with the United States Anglo-American establishment beginning to break away from Israel? Steve Pachinik.
Well, this is really, once again, Bibi's stupid, arrogant, self-destructive ways. He started this when I was involved with James Baker under the Bush senior administration, where Baker correctly threw him out of the office for calling him insolent, stupid, and arrogant. Subsequently, Clinton senior also did the same thing. What you see here between Bibi and his right-hand man, Mr. Ron Dermer, who is from Miami Beach, is you basically see two Americans. You do not see Israelis. Let's get that very clear. These are not Israelis. These are people who grew up in the United States, went to MIT. He went to MIT when I was there in the 70s, got a business degree. Bibi never fought in the United States Army, then went over to Israel, has a dual citizenship, was indicted for corruption. Shamir didn't like him. Menachem Begin didn't like him. Nobody liked him. He was arrogant, not very bright, and strategically very inept. At the same time, he picked a right-hand man who was even stupider than he, Ron Dermer, from an area where I come from, Miami Beach, where his family, the Rosenfels, are the most corrupt mayors in a very corrupt city, who has no idea what he's talking about in Judaism, no idea about Israel. This has nothing to do with Israel. This has to do with two arrogant American Jews who've never really been part of Israel, have never fought in the United States, have never deserved an American passport. And what they're trying to do is really try to justify Bibi's incipient notion that we should not have an agreement with Iran, which is incorrect. Number one, Iran has been our partner for the past 8 to 9 years, has helped our military and our intelligence get out of Iraq, Afghanistan, and is now the most effective partner against ISIS and al-Qaeda. Who are the members who are fighting alongside ISIS? They are Bibi Netanyahu, Saudi Arabia, and Qatar. Bibi is very much a part of the ISIS group that is ostensibly beheading everybody. Bibi has formed a formal alliance with Saudi Arabia. So what this is an indictment of Bibi, not Israel, not Zionism.
So are you saying a right-wing breakaway group is in a proxy war basically with the United States over interest in the Middle East? We're allied.
It's not even that. Alex, you're giving him too much legitimacy. This is a stupid, arrogant blowhard who was elected to prime minister. He doesn't have the popularity vote among the intellectuals or even the military or intelligence in Israel, and basically is trying to blow his own horn when he was thrown out by our own Secretary of State and our President of the United States, Clinton, as well as Obama, and he's trying to exert some kind of leverage so that he can get reelected. It has nothing to do with Israel.
Well, I mean to back up some of what you're saying, Meyer Dagan, London Guardian, former Mossad head, urges Israel voters to oust Benjamin Netanyahu and basically says, quote, the structure of the future security of Israel. He goes on to say that he's dangerous.
He's very dangerous. Actually, what I've always said is what happened to Rabin should happen to Bibi. He understands that.
Okay, not on this show. Come on. I'm not.
Well, please. I'm saying that. You're not saying that. I'm saying that. But if Israel wants to survive, which it does, it cannot. It cannot bring in American low-level self-aggrandizing Jews who know nothing about diaspora, have never served our country, have never really served Israel, have never been in our military, have been nurtured by us. This guy Derman went to the University of Pennsylvania, and to think he was smart, he went to Oxford, where anybody can get a degree. You just sit there and read, and he's a dumb Miami Jew. as well as his family and his wife, who's from Baltimore. So you're not talking about Israelis. You're not talking about Sabras. You're not talking about Herzog, whose father was in the British Army, the Israeli Army, and was head of our ambassadorship. You're not talking about Tzipi Livi, whose father was head of the Argun Tzfelumin and Menachem Begin. These are two outcasts from the Israeli Zionist narrative. They don't belong there. They don't belong in America. And they should be thrown out. It has nothing to do with Israeli military or Israeli intelligence. They're still a strong part of our own military and our own intelligence. We will make a deal with Iran. I guarantee you that. It will be to our benefit. Syria will be staying alive, and Russia will help us. That is the geopolitical reality that I said years ago.
Sure, you did say that years ago here. What was the whole point, then, of trying to overthrow Syria to begin with? Did the West fail in that project?
Yes. It was a very big mistake made by Generals Abizaya, the neocons, again, the same people, Wolfowitz, Steve Hadley, all the ones who were part of Jeb Bush's new and different coterie of friends. Jeb Bush just announced he's a different man, but he just took on board every one of the old Bush.
Okay, if the neocons are such failures, why are they always in power then? If they're just
because there's nothing to stop them other than what we would normally do, because they basically come back in, they have the Wall Street Journal, they cower to people who are incompetent like Jeb Bush. They go back into the Bush family. Jeb is a moral hazard. He's had a history of ineffective work here in Miami and in Florida.
Well, you used to like Jeb more, though.
Huh? I used to like him, but I said if you stay quiet and you keep quiet and you don't go any further than your capabilities, then stay shut. America needs a leader. It doesn't need a sycophant whose brothers had destroyed the country, including Melvin Neal, who gave us the savings and loan crisis, and Bush Jr., who gave us the 2008 financial crisis. So when you go out and you say, I'm my own man, and you don't have anything to offer, and you are not a very good governor, that's an insult to the American people. It's an insult to Jews, to Christians.
Okay, well, am I right, though, that this is dangerous if we do hit Iran because Russia could get involved, or is it not dangerous?
No, it's not dangerous. Russia's interest is basically to make sure that they have a perimeter where Iran works with Russia, Syria works with Russia, and the al-Qaeda units and ISIS are basically neutralized, and that's what we're working on. Right now, we want Halliburton, we want Schlumberger, and all those companies to go back into Iran to beef up the capability in the Middle East, and to break up the secret.
Okay, what does Saudi Arabia want?
Saudi Arabia is in trouble. They're run by brothers and cousins now who are infighting. Basically, they want to stay alive and relevant. They can't, because about 40% of their children have unemployment. They're depleted of oil over 50%. We no longer need their oil. We no longer need their gas. They don't have a civil society. Neither does Qatar. We have a new emir. The emir is protected by 10,000 of our soldiers. We have a Navy base and an Air Force base in Qatar.
Sure, I'll tell you a big sign. That Qatar and Saudi Arabia may fall soon.
Eventually. You know, it's just a question of time. So will Jordan, because these are artificial countries. Iran and Turkey are not artificial. They've been there for thousands of years. Israel will have to put into place exactly where it belongs. It'll have to learn to get along. Herzog and Tzipi and others will learn that Israel has to make accommodations with the Palestinians, with the Jordanians and the Middle East. They have no other choice. Because
all right, I want to do two more minutes with you on the side if you can do it, because there's a big article out today. CIA insider, forget Iran, Iraq, Ukraine, and Syria. This is where World War III will start. In a startling interview, he reveals that all 16 U.S. intelligence agencies have begun to prepare for World War III. What's your take on that briefly and the latest on Russia? And that's just some of the news that Jim Rickards is putting out. I want to get your take on that on the other side. By the way, the FCC won't release the 300-plus pages, won't testify before Congress. We had the former chief counsel, Bruce Fein, on from the FCC, saying it's just that, an FCC power grab. South by Southwest schedule coming up March 17th. They're going to have the FCC subhead. They're propagandizing about how great and open this is, but they won't release the documents. So that's what it's all about. It's why they won't release it, is so they can run around and lie about it all day. Dr. Steve Pachenik, finishing up with the statements about preparing for war with Russia. What's the latest on Ukraine? Where do you think that's going?
Well, I don't think it's a war with Russia. Basically, the Ukraine has this administration has been effective in running an economic war and basically reducing the price of oil and at the same time reducing the ruble by 50% to 60% and making the Russian bond a junk bond. So Putin has a real problem both of inflation, economic chaos, and impending political chaos. It's more of an internal issue. He cannot fund a war. He's not capable of funding a war. The Russians don't want to fight a war. They need to reconstruct their own internal capacity to grow internally. The Russians are great people. They understand that this cannot continue. They want to live a good life, and Putin is not able to really control it. Contrary to what a lot of people say, Putin is not as smart as everybody
thinks. What do you think about the latest assassination of the opposition leader?
Well, I think it was an old KGB technique. I mean, I've said it 10, 12 years ago when I wrote in the Intelligence Journal that Putin was always going to be KGB forever, and this is an old, awkward technique.
You don't think it's a false flag to create a martyr?
No. No, because Putin has done this way before with the Chechens. Putin is not that clever to create a martyr and reverse it, because those days are gone. False flag has become now the natural narrative to this. And the CIA doesn't have a real, credible narrative for this right now. The CIA is too busy, along with our military intelligence, running all kinds of other operations in terms of economic warfare, psychological warfare, which is far more effective. Assassinating an opposition leader is a very systematic, and it's a very old system of operation for the KGB, whether Putin directly did it, or he claims the Chechens who did it, or because the man was Jewish. It's all nonsense.
All right.
The point of fact is he was assassinated, and the point of fact is Putin is in trouble, and the people need some liberty. It's as simple as that.
All right.
In terms of Bibi and his representatives, they don't represent Israel. They don't represent anybody but themselves.
Doc, thank you. StephenChenik.com. Thank you for that perspective.
Yeah. Bye.
All right, there he goes. We're out of time for the main broadcast.